Respect is a production of iHeartRadio. I'm your host, Heidi Murkoff, and I'm a mom on a mission to help you know what to expect every step of the way. So if you know me, you know there is nothing that is TMI in my book, at least when it comes to moms sharing their symptoms or concerns. Today, we are devoting the entire episode of What to Expect podcast on TMI symptoms that you have shared. And here to help me do that is Emma, informally known as the queen of TMI across all social media, because there is nothing she hasn't shared or wouldn't share, and Sarah, who is our fearless What to Expect community leader. Hey, Emma. Hey, Sarah.
Hi. I feel like I would totally post a picture of my nipple when it was falling off when I was pumping. I'm that intense with TMI.
Well, I think moms do often send in a lot of pictures or share pictures to say hey, is this normal? Is this weird? And sometimes you just got to do that.
Yeah. When someone else is experiencing the same thing, that's TMI, it makes you feel a little better.
Absolutely. Yeah.
A little solidarity, a little kumbaya TMI sharing. I love it. Let's get around the campfire.
Yes. So speaking of sharing, when we had our pregnancy Q&A episode, Heidi, we had a ton of questions and we didn't have enough for one episode. So we needed a follow-up, and specifically with questions that, maybe don't seem like people want to share with everyone or they might think are TMI. And your mission for What to Expect has always been to have a supportive and safe environment. And I think because of that, our moms in our community have this high level of support and they are comfortable with sharing their questions that they might not want to talk to their doctor about or their friends. And I think Heidi and Emma, you both see this a lot across your social pages as well.
I've gotten a whole lot.
Mine's more sex-oriented TMI on my page. Sharing is caring.
So we asked our community what their most TMI questions and concerns are. And man, they really came through for us. So just like in the Q&A episode where you answered some help me, Heidi, in a hurry questions, I'm going to go through the list. Heidi, Emma, jump in. We're asking, is this normal? Kind of like a true or false thing. So the first one was leaky boobs at week 21.
So not everyone starts leaking colostrum, but some women do and can start it leaking at about 20 weeks or so. And some women never do. The thing to remember, though, it has nothing to do with how much milk you're ultimately going to produce. So keep that in mind.
Oh, that's good to know. I think it was just one of those weird things where I was like, this is interesting. Let's start using breast pads in advance and see how that goes.
So you did have that, Sarah?
I did. Yeah. I mean, it wasn't anything crazy. It was just a little bit, but it was just kind of like this. All right. Well, things are working. Things are moving along.
Roll with it.
Yeah.
But the good news is it's working anyway, even if you don't notice any leaking. And in fact, when I gave birth, I couldn't even squeeze any of it out, but Emma managed to.
Yep. Oh, I have so many things I could say. I don't know. I'm going to stop, though.
We'll get to that later. We'll get to that later, right? Okay, so another question was skin tags in the peri area.
Okay, so let's back up. You can get skin tags anywhere when you're pregnant. It's all those extra hormones. Thank you, hormones. But you're especially likely to be blessed with them in areas that are high friction. So under your arms, under your breasts, and also in your vaginal area. They're definitely harmless. They can be removed. So yeah, run them by your doctor or your midwife if you're concerned about them. And if they're uncomfortable, they can always be removed.
Another question was hair growth on your belly. Is that normal?
So pregnant bellies are fuzzy bellies. You can also find hair sprouting in other places you would not expect it, like your lips, your breasts, your chinny chin chin.
You know, what's interesting is that the only place I had hair on my body when I was pregnant, I had fuzz on my belly, but everywhere else it was so sparse. Normally I shave my legs, but when I was pregnant, I barely got hair under my arms. I barely got hair on my legs.
Yeah, that's actually pretty common.
Yeah, I feel like hair wasn't really a thing for me, but just like, you know, like other things that you have on your stomach, like the line and all that other stuff that kind of...
I love the line. Mine's still there.
I was pretty darn fuzzy, I have to say. But it is hair today, gone tomorrow, because you'll shed it after your pregnancy.
I feel like that's comforting. A lot of the stuff that happens during pregnancy, it goes away over time, like either right away or a little bit over time. It's not always permanent. Oh, Heidi, this one came from your Facebook page. She said sharp nipple pain. She has it so bad that it stings in the shower and even a little breeze is unbearable.
So yeah, first trimester nipple pain is real. It can be excruciating. In fact, I remember it like it was just yesterday. I mean, I couldn't put on a bra without it being agonizing. And it should taper off by the second trimester. Of course, if you have any concerns, check with your doctor. But yeah, be gentle.
Yes. Okay, another question was an itchy anus. And I think we're talking about hemorrhoids here, maybe.
Oh my gosh, hemorrhoids ahoy for me on both times.
The worst. Yeah. The worst.
That's definitely the hemorrhoids. You can try ice packs and witch hazel pads. Check with your doctor about other options. Gentle does it when wiping.
Pat,
yeah.
But those witch hazel pads, Mom, I think you recommend them to me. They were really great. Who makes them?
Tucks, right?
Tucks, thank you. Yeah. I always keep them at my house because those hemorrhoids are forever.
I always associate that smell with just becoming a new mom. Like, yeah. Forever, because that was my first introduction to Tucks. Okay, so another good question. Can you use a vibrator while you're pregnant?
Yes, please. Just keep it clean.
Yes.
I never used a vibrator when I was pregnant. I like the real thing for pregnancy for me personally, but you know, you go girl.
Okay. Another question we had was, is lactating during sex normal?
Oh yeah. So breasts can definitely leak during sex, both during pregnancy and postpartum.
Okay. So we can't get personal without talking about vaginas. And we had a lot of questions. So I'm going to read what our mom sent in. And the first one, I think a lot of moms, you know, you want things to be looking nice. So she said, I want to wax my vag. Can I do that or at least make her nice? Is that good or bad?
Mom, you take this and then I have a comment.
Okay. I say your vag, your business, whatever makes you happy. I mean, of course, ironically, you can't see down there. But if you are going to go get waxed, just make sure you choose an esthetician who has experience with pregnancy-sensitive skin is going to be extra, extra gentle because you can get far more irritated. Your skin is super, super sensitive in all areas, but especially that area when you're pregnant. And I would not try waxing at home simply because you're not going to be able to see what you're doing and you could hurt yourself.
I remember when I was pregnant with Lennox, you got me a special day to get waxed in my business. And I have never felt pain like that in my life because I was pregnant. So that was the first and only time I got waxed during pregnancy. But a lot of people do it and they love it. But for me, I was like, no.
I somehow managed to shave, but I mainly was just worried about the delivery and like a bunch of people seeing what was going on there.
I shaved like the night before, which was before I went into labor. I had no idea I was going to go into labor, but I shaved. And then my mom, I think she filmed my birth and I saw my vagina. I was like, oh, wow. I really missed a few spots. Like, there was some, like...
My mom filmed my birth too and I can't look at it. It's just
love that video.
I can't do it. Okay, another question we had, and I think this came in a lot. Moms wanted to know if their vagina is supposed to be changing color. Is that normal?
All your genitals do get darker. They're a deeper shade of the color they usually are. So they don't exactly change color. They just become deeper in their hue, including around the labia and areolas, of course. And those are keepers. Those are keeper colors. I mean, you may fade somewhat, but you're always going to be a little darker than you were.
Yeah, my vagina is a lot darker than it was. I don't know about my nipples. My nipples are massive now.
I think both got darker for me, maybe. It's all good. Okay, so we had some kind of a little more on the personal side of TMI. You know, a lot of moms ask this, why does my vagina smell different while pregnant and not a good different? And actually, this was up there with like the most asked questions.
You definitely have more discharge. And as your pregnancy progresses, you have more and more and more of it. And it's actually nature's way of preventing infection and of keeping your pH nicely balanced. It will, however, make a mess out of your underwear, and it's milky-like. It will smell differently, but it shouldn't smell offensive. And if it does smell offensive, then you should always check with a doctor or midwife about possibility of infection. Now, the other thing to keep in mind is that when you're pregnant, your sniffer is far more sensitive, so you might be smelling it more than anybody else. The most important thing to remember is nature has your back and has your business down there nicely taken care of. And so you don't want to introduce anything artificial, no douching, no sprays, no wipes, because then you will be interfering with your natural pH and that could make you more vulnerable to infection.
But that's pregnancy or not. I've always been told like not to douche even when you're not pregnant, just because let your vag be your vag.
No. Douching is never a good idea, but especially when you're pregnant.
So a related question, we had a few of these about yeast infection. And if they're frequent, how do you prevent them?
They are way, way, way more common during pregnancy, and some women are more prone to them than others. Always get a diagnosis. Don't self-treat. Even if you know the symptoms backwards and forwards, you've had tons of them in your lifetime, you should always get that diagnosis and that treatment plan from your provider when you're pregnant. Now, one of the things that sometimes helps is avoiding sugar, like excessive amounts of sugar, refined grains, because yeast loves to feast on those kinds of foods, right? Also taking probiotics, they're good for all your tummy troubles, but they also can build up your troops of good bacteria, and that keeps the bad bacteria away, the ones that are infection-causing. Also, make sure you keep your underwear cotton.
Yeah.
Another question that came up with a lot of moms was being frustrated with bacterial vaginosis and wondering what's your advice on treating that?
So to be clear, this is different from a yeast infection, and that's one of the reasons you should always have that diagnosis when you think you have an infection. There are telltale signs. They are similar to a yeast infection, but there's often a distinctly fishy smell, so you want to look out for that. Now, that said, not every woman has symptoms with BV. Sometimes there are no symptoms at all. And something also I want to make sure everybody understands is it's not an STD. A lot of people think that it is, but it isn't. If you're asymptomatic, they probably won't treat. But if you are symptomatic, you will need treatment with antibiotics. And so that's why you need to go see your provider.
Okay, I'm definitely going to mispronounce this. What are vulvar varicositis? I don't know, Heidi, help me out.
So, yes, varicosities. So we're talking about varicose veins down there. The thing to remember is that you can get varicose veins anywhere when you're pregnant, especially in your lower body, because the blood is having a hard time circulating back up. So it tends to pool in your extremities. So that's why you get varicose veins in your legs. In fact, did you know that hemorrhoids are actually varicose veins of the rectum?
I didn't know that. I didn't even know you could get varicose veins in your vagina. This is all new to me.
I actually hear this a lot. And one of the things that you might feel is like a swelling, throbbing feeling, not in a good way throbbing.
I was going to say.
Because there is a lot of blood flow, so you might think, oh, I'm throbbing there all the time. And some women just are like highly sexually charged especially during early pregnancy from all that blood flow. But this is not in a good way. It might look a little lumpy. It might even be a little bluish, but very, very swollen feeling. And it's really important to get a diagnosis and treatment. It's nothing to worry about, but it can become chronic. So there are things like an ice pack can help, sitting on a donut, getting exercise. You want to avoid long periods of standing or sitting. And a support garment that's designed for your perineal area, even one for your bump, will help support it. Elevate your legs every chance you get. That can also help with the varicose veins in your legs. Nothing to worry about, but it can be a real pain.
So while we're on this vagina topic, we have so many moms, I can't even tell you how many moms, asking about how to identify their mucus plug. And like, I'm telling you, from the history of time and community, everyone posts pictures of their mucus plug. Like, you can't, it's hard to tell. And so people want to know, like, how do I know if this is the mucus plug?
Oh, I get these all the time. Emma did show me her mucus plug.
Well, I lost it in Babies R Us while we were filming.
I remember losing mine and I was all alone and I had no social media to share with. So I saw it in the toilet and I was like, what the heck is that?
Is that the baby? Is that the baby?
And by the way, just in case you're getting excited, it does not mean that labor is going to be a few hours away. I lost mine 3 weeks before, but your body keeps producing more of that mucus. So the mucus plug is kind of like the cork that seals the cervix up. And keeps your baby nice and safe and protected. You might lose it all in one big gelatinous glob, or you might lose it in, you know, smaller pieces. If you're the kind of person who flushes and rushes, you might not notice it at all. You might see it on your underwear. You might see it on the toilet paper, but it's not likely to be bloody. It might just be a little pink tinge, but not bloody. The mucus plug is generally clear.
Okay, let's turn to our favorite topic. I bet you can't guess what it is.
Sex?
Yes, let's talk about sex. So we had tons of juicy, good sex questions, and I want to get into those. Okay, which stage of pregnancy is unsafe to have sex? Is it based on level of comfort?
Oh, yeah. So if you've gotten the go-ahead, then go ahead. Like, comfort should be your only concern, and of course, your pleasure. But if your doctor or midwife has said, go for it, go for it. The only time you don't want to have sex is if your water has broken.
Just because bacteria, right?
Yeah, if there's a rupture in your membranes, you don't want to have sex. But I don't think you'd want to.
No, that doesn't sound like a good time.
I was one of the unfortunate people to have placenta previa. So like, I could have sex in the beginning and at the very end where it was like, not when I wanted to be having sex. But that whole second trimester, it was like, nope, sorry.
Your body shop is closed.
Yeah.
So you were on the quote unquote pelvic rest.
Yes. Okay. So which positions are safest and which are best when you're feeling uncomfortable?
You definitely should stay off your back after the fourth month. But I mean, honestly, whatever feels good, you should do it. You know, try it out first. I always suggest doing a dry run with your clothes on so there's no pressure to see if everything's going to fit well. And you're going to find that what feels good in the first trimester is going to feel not as good later on, second, third trimester. Second trimester is always best for sex because you're not yet so large. You can still fit yourself into many positions.
I like the first trimester the best.
Yeah. Okay. Sometimes it feels like my baby is getting pushed out while I'm having sex. What is happening?
It does sound like she's feeling pressure. And you can feel that kind of pressure when you're having orgasm, when you're having sex, your contractions, you get some contractions from that. And they're not the kind of contractions that put you in labor. But your uterus does gently contract, and that can make you feel more pressure. And this can happen during sex, it can happen after sex. But of course, if there's any pain, definitely, definitely check with your doctor.
So this is like a good to know question for everyone. If I'm 1 centimeter dilated, is sex safe?
Yes. And that's a really good thing because you can walk around 1 centimeter dilated.
Yeah, I think I was 1 centimeter for like months.
And again, if your provider has not put any restrictions on your pelvic activities, then you can go for it and keep going for it.
You have Heidi's blessing to get it on.
Get it on.
Okay. Is it true that semen softens the cervix?
In theory, because sperm contain prostaglandins. And so when you go to the hospital and they're ripening your cervix, they will do that with a similar yet not as natural substance. So those prostaglandins might be able to soften your cervix and help get the labor party started, but only if conditions are ripe.
Okay, this one I'd never heard of. Is it true that orgasm by the way of masturbation during labor is good?
I would argue that orgasm is always good. It's a win-win. In theory, because you release oxytocin during orgasm and that causes the uterus to contract, there could be benefits. I would also argue that many women will not be in the mood for masturbation during labor. So this is another situation where if it feels good, go for it.
Yeah, I thought it was a really interesting question. Nothing I'd ever heard of before, yeah.
Yeah, it's really cool. And you know, good for you if you're that relaxed, you want to masturbate during labor.
Okay, so we have some postpartum questions as well. And Heidi, I wanted to start off with a story that another mom from your Facebook page shared. She said, after delivery, I may or may not have ran out of the bathroom crying, saying there were pieces of my placenta falling out. Nobody warned me about blood clots.
Mom, was that me? Remember? After I had Sebi, I thought it was my whole placenta that came out of me. Mom, remember I called you and I was crying and I was freaking out and I saved it and I brought it to the doctor in like a Tupperware. So whoever wrote that question, you're my soul sister. I feel you.
It's true. I mean, I remember the same thing when I stood up for the first time in the hospital and all this blood was gushing out of me. But that blood and tissue is accumulated during pregnancy, and it's got to exit the building, whether you've had a vaginal delivery or you've had a C-section. You will get some clots at first, in the first few days. You should always check with the nurse or the doctor or the midwife if you're having really, really large clots. So, Emma, that was a good idea to go show them to your OB. But say if they're lemon-sized or larger, that's definitely, you know, more of a cause for concern, though it's possible that's completely normal. You know, they do examine the placenta when it's delivered to make sure there are no missing pieces, but once in a while there are a few, but you would have signs of infection following that if you did have any retained placenta. But for the most part, placentas come out intact and you don't have to worry.
So I think every mom heading towards a vaginal delivery is concerned about this one. Are postpartum diapers for blood, urine, poop, or all of the above?
Yeah, it can definitely be all of the above. You've got blood for sure, as we discussed. Also keep in mind, besides all the blood that you've accumulated, the placenta has separated from the uterus, and that's going to cause bleeding as well. It should start tapering off if it isn't tapering off or it's increasing, call your provider right away, after about 2 weeks. And then you'll just have lighter bleeding that gets lighter and lighter. Now, pee, you may have some control issues at first, especially if you've had a catheter because you had an epidural, C-section. You also have a lot of fluid to pee out to get rid of after you've delivered. Do your Kegels. If you keep leaking, see your provider and get a referral to a pelvic floor physical therapist. Poop, hard to pass at first. Then it might get hard to contain. For some moms, I actually heard this a lot, that they had some fecal incontinence after delivery. And especially if you've had a significant tear or repair, definitely pelvic floor physical therapy can help a lot. It can be a game changer.
Okay, what every pregnant new mom wants to know, will my vagina ever be the same?
You know, remember that a vagina is built to take it. It's designed, it's got accordion-like folds, so it can accommodate a baby. The perineum is somewhat less elastic, but vaginas are remarkably resilient, and you probably won't notice a perceptible difference, say, in snugness. And for some women, if they're too tight to begin with, it's actually welcome. But the more tearing there was or repair, sometimes there's scar tissue. So if you have continuing pain or you feel something's just not right down there, definitely don't keep it to yourself and share that with your doctor
One last question I wanted to cover before we sign off. Where can I go to ask random questions that aren't doctor worthy, but it's too early to tell friends and family that I'm pregnant?
So, first of all, any question is doctor worthy. So never think that your question is silly or too embarrassing. I feel like you should share anything that's on your mind that's concerning you with your doctor or your midwife. But you also have the entire What to Expect community of moms waiting to share your experiences, share their experiences, and let you know that you're not alone. You can always come on my Instagram or on my Facebook and ask me anything. That's at Heidi Murkoff. And of course, Emma will always listen to your
TMI questions. I love a good sex question, so bring them at me.
Thanks, everybody, for sharing your TMI questions. For listening. Remember, I'm always here for you. What to Expect is always here for you. We're all in this together. For more on what you heard on today's episode, visit whattoexpect.com/podcast. You can also check out What to Expect When You're Expecting, What to Expect the First Year, and the What to Expect app. And we want to hear from you. Connect with us on our community message board or on our social media. You can find me at Heidi Murkoff and Emma at Emma Bing WTE. And of course, at What to Expect. Baby Love is performed by Riley Biederer. What to Expect is a production of iHeartRadio. For more shows from iHeartRadio, check out the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
In my arms, why don't you stay?